They're calling it a green slide. The Greens have had their best outing at the ballot box to date, claiming a lower house seat for the first time ever in a federal election. Adam Bandt claiming the seat of Melbourne, of course. And it would appear that a Green senator has been elected in all six Australian states. With continuing senators in WA, Tasmania and South Australia, that means from July next year there will be 9 Green senators. In other words, of course, the Greens will have the balance of power in the new Senate. West Australian Green Senator Scott Ludlam wasn't up for re-election. He continues in office and he'll give us a uniquely West Australian perspective on what's happened. Scott Ludlam is in our Perth studios. He's been waiting patiently. Scott Ludlam, welcome to the National Interest.
Good morning.
Good afternoon for us, of course, but it is good morning for you, isn't it? Firstly, the Greens vote in Western Australia was 12.9%, the highest of any mainland state. Only in Tasmania did the Greens do better, and that's really their home state, if you like. Why such a high vote for the Greens in Western Australia in particular?
Well, I think the Greens' home state's in Western Australia as well. We started independently, got our first senator elected for the Nuclear Disarmament Party in the mid-80s. We've had continuous representation, state or federal, in WA since then. So we've got quite deep roots here as well. We are really delighted with the result in WA. It's another percentage point or two higher in the Senate. So my colleague Rachel Seawin has been re-elected and we're really delighted with that. I think it's probably part of the independent-mindedness of Western Australia that feeds through into a very strong progressive vote as well as in Tassie and in other parts of the country.
We've been discussing on this program, I think you may have heard some of the discussion with Labor's Duncan Kerr and the Liberals' Fran Bailey, the problems that the major parties have and the way people are moving away from the major parties. 20% of the vote didn't go to the major parties. Has that been a particular factor in Western Australia, do you think?
I think so. I think some of your commentary this morning has been quite perceptive that we're just seeing, you know, one of your guests earlier described it as a pox on both your houses. The discipline of the major parties is all very well when it stands for something, but when you can't tell what they stand for or when it becomes uniformly negative, then I think people have just switched off in enormous numbers. And we're seeing it fed through now in the huge Green vote. It's the largest swing that we've ever had across the country and in the election of record numbers of independents around the country.
Of course, the Green senators don't take up their seats until July next year, but when you do, how will the Greens use the balance of power?
Well, we're reasonably familiar with it around the country. In Tasmania, they've had balance of power. In Western Australian Parliament, my state colleagues had balance of power for 12 years. So we'll use it responsibly. We've been very careful right from the outset to set out a very clear agenda over the last years and months so people can be pretty clear about what we stand for. I think people have a pretty good idea of what our key priorities are. As with everybody, our first priority is going to be stability. We don't want to see a period of volatility. We can't afford that. And we'll work with the parties in the parliament that have the best ideas, and we'll certainly be putting some strong ideas forward ourselves.
What about reform of parliamentary processes themselves? I know you've been very involved in Senate committees, for example. Do you want to see those processes strengthened?
Yeah, look, there's a number of issues and ways that we could improve the parliament. I think question time is the most obvious one because it tends to get broadcast and you just see politicians behaving like children and sometimes it's just incredibly undignified. So there's a good place to start. The committee system, when it works, is very powerful and a very important way of improving legislation. A lot of that goes on out of sight. The less politicised they become, the more independents, the more crossbenchers on those committees, the better. There's an issue that Senator Bob Brown and I have been pursuing for a couple of years now around the ability of an independent arbiter to decide when the executive won't hand over a document and when the parliament and the executive are deadlocked. Those sort of things, which are subtle and they're a bit behind the scenes, but they can really improve the way that accountability and democracy works. So we'll be trying to progress some of those issues.
One of your initiatives as a senator was to introduce a private members bill, which would require the government to consult the parliament or require a parliamentary vote before Australia sends troops overseas. Now, that bill, of course, is now void because it was introduced in the last parliament, didn't go anywhere. But is that another initiative you will continue to pursue?
Yeah, I certainly will. It will lapse. We'll reintroduce that one. We had a very interesting process where that went through committee. We had a great range of evidence on that from former senior defence personnel, diplomats, former Secretary of Defence, the Australian Defence Association and so on, as well as representatives of the peace movement. And we're pretty clear that the bill could use a little bit of work, but it's something that the country desperately needs so that we don't find ourselves again in the situation that we found ourselves in Iraq, participating in an invasion that many international legal experts believe was unlawful. We can't even get the issue of our Afghanistan deployment debated in the parliament, which is really a terrible indictment, I think, and probably one of the issues, if you saw the shallow and superficial way in which this election campaign was conducted by the major parties, we're a country at war, and that issue barely broke the surface. So I'm hoping in the new parliament, with the more dynamic numbers and more diversity of opinion, that we can do justice to the men and women that we've got in the field to begin with and have a more mature national debate about issues like Afghanistan.
With me in the studio is Professor Brian Costa from Swinburne University. Brian, do you have a comment here on the Greens and the Senate?
Yes, I think that would be a major platform that I think the Greens in the Senate would want to advance. And, of course, it looks as though we are going to have a minority government. Now, that would be a unique situation in which whichever party, major party, forms government, it's going to have to negotiate procedure and legislation in the lower house and after the 1st of July, and even now, with, when it comes to 1st of July, the Greens. And, you know, I would agree with all those changes. I think their time has long since come.
All those changes that make the parliament more powerful versus the executive and so on.
And the reason is, other than the obvious one, is it will build confidence, rebuild some confidence in parliament.
And reduce the level of cynicism towards our politicians.
One hopes so. I'd suggest a more radical suggestion, though, that's been debated around the circles that I move in, and that's to move the executive out of Parliament House. They shouldn't be there.
So ministers' offices go?
Yes, they go. They go back into their departments where they should be.
Scott Ludlam, what do you think of that?
I think that's a very interesting idea. I'm really looking forward to some of these ideas coming forward in the next little while. It feels like a breath of fresh air blowing through the place. I haven't given that one a great deal of thought, I must admit, but let's engage with that.
And then if there was too much empty space, they could go the next step and sell the new Parliament House and move back to the old one, which they should have never have left. As Malcolm Fraser says, it's the worst decision he ever made.
Well, Senator Scott Ludlam, thank you very much for joining us in the National Interest.
Thank you.